Are you a mum looking for some parenting inspiration, tips and advice, stories on the ups and downs we face in our lives as parents, some humour and a little bit of fun? Then you may have just found what you're looking for. Hi and welcome to the Parenting in the Thick of It show. I'm your host Louise Clark, a certified parent coach known to many as your parenting partner. As a mum to three teenagers, you can bet I've probably been there, done that, and heard it all. Trust me, there'll be few things that I haven't experienced firsthand. I created this podcast because I just love to help mums like you find ways to navigate life in the thick of it and find a way out of it. Episode 580. Every parent needs to master this and become a CIP. Welcome to the show today, where I discuss this very, very important skill set that I believe when we acquire makes parenting much, much easier. Not only does it make it easier, it leads and paves the way to you having a more deeply connected relationship with your child, whether your child be a toddler or a teenager or anything in between. What I'm going to share today is really going to help you. So just before we move on to that, I want to thank all of you who have reached out to me to thank me for the work I do and for the information, advice and tips that I bring to you weekly on the show. It always is music to my ears when I hear parents share with me how much I help them and support them, open their minds to a different way of thinking, to a new way of parenting, and helping more and more parents raise their bar and be the parent that they can be, that they are. But so often we just get in our own way. And I want to help you get out of your way and help you do the smallest of things that can bring about the biggest of changes and help you manage life in the thick of it with your kiddos. As I record this, it is 1 week before I start my 1 year group coaching program, which I'm really excited about. There's a fabulous number of parents that are all signed up, and it's going to be a great group. I'm super excited to start, and I'm really curious as to how everybody moves forward throughout the course of a year with me at the helm and me helping and influencing them as they raise their bars and become even better versions of themselves. I'm really looking forward to it, and it's been a dream of mine for a long time to have a group of committed parents who want to hold themselves accountable and invest in themselves and raising their bars so that they can have a more deeply connected, fun, joyful, and meaningful relationship with their kids. It is so hard today with the off the back of this pandemic. Hopefully we're seeing the end of it. Hopefully this dreaded O that I had last week that I'm recovered from has passed its peak and passed its sell-by date, and it will become nothing but a regular flu and we can all move on. But it has left its toll, and times have been really tough during the last 2 years, and our kids have really borne the brunt of it. I feel so badly for them. They've had their lives robbed from them, and not only that, they've been forced into the virtual world at an even greater depth than they were already, I'm going to say, drowning in, because I think a lot of kids were drowning in the virtual world before the pandemic. And now they really are deep. They're underwater. They're addicted to it. They can't get out of it. And parents are really struggling as to finding ways to manage it. So I'm going to say that this year we will be discussing that a lot in the group, because I know that many of the parents who've signed up, it's their greatest challenge. And maybe it's your greatest challenge too. Anyway, I want to move on and talk about what we need to do in order to become a CIP and what a CIP actually is. And I just realized that I said a week on Tuesday the 25th of January, this group course starts. You can still sign up. So if any of you are listening and want to join me for the year, then it's not too late. You can still do that. So the link is in the show notes here. So CIP, what is it? I'm wondering if any of you can work it out. If you know me and you know what I teach to and what I coach to, you might have worked out one of the C's in amongst many, many C's that I talk about. And this one is compassionate. We need to become a compassionate, influencing person in our kids' lives. But how on earth do we do this? And we want them to, you know, take our advice, to listen to us, and to, I'm not going to say do what they're told. Many parents want their kids to obey and do what they're told. I think it's nice if they want to cooperate rather than obey. I don't like the word obey. But we want our kids to want to cooperate. And the problem is, as they get older, and even some toddlers, very strong-willed toddlers, they don't like being told what to do. So how can we influence our kids without telling them what they quote-unquote should do or must do? And I don't like the words should, and I don't like the word must. I think we can be much better with our words. We can become better wordsmiths than that. You should do it. Says who and according to who. And I'm trying to rule out as many shoulds as possible in my life. I don't like being told what I should do. I want to make the choices for myself. And you might be saying, yes, but my kids need to know what they should be doing. And I hear you, but no one likes to be told they should do it. So how can we reframe should? And I think that goes a long way to becoming compassionate, influencing people. Should is a very kind of top-down, superior than, authoritarian, dictator kind of way of thinking. It's my way or the highway. You should do it. It's me saying you should do it. Now, I would love my kids to do it, but if I tell them they should do it, then maybe they're strongly against it. You know, we could put this in many different contexts, and I'm generalizing here. But, you know, you should do the dishwasher. Well, no, you need to do the dishwasher. It's not a negotiable. But you should tie your shoelaces this particular way. I don't know why that came into my head, but it's interesting because my son, my 16-year-old, ties his shoelaces in a very different way to me. And he continues to complain about the fact that his shoelaces never stay done off and they're not tight enough. And I know that if he did it my way, they'd stay tied up. But I never say, you should do it my way. You should do it this way. When they come undone and he complains, I say, there's lots of different ways that we can tie laces. Maybe there's another way that you can try that might hold them faster for longer. So do you see how I reframe it? So if we want to influence them, we have to think about, what do we mean by influence? And very often as parents, we want them to take the action that we're suggesting. We want them to kind of, quote unquote, agree with us. Because at the end of the day, we have got wisdom, we have got age on our side, we've got experience on our side. And there's lots of things that we actually do know and they don't know. But no child likes being told what to do. And most teenagers think they know it all. So when we then come to them and tell them that they should be doing it our way or they should agree with us, it's not going to go down well. So how do we get them to take our advice, to listen to us? Well, I think the less we tell them what they should be doing, the better. And how do we do that? Well, how do we open conversations with them? And I think ask them questions that are not putting them on the spot, that are not demanding an answer, but asking questions of them that pique their curiosity, that make them think, that make them wonder. And that's where I want to take my kids, so that they come up with the answers for themselves But it's the answer I want them to take. And I sound very manipulative and conniving when I say that. But that's really the truth of it. Because a lot of times as parents, we want them to take the answer or come to the conclusion that we've come to because we know it's better for them. But, you know, we have to honor their opinion. We have to respect that their opinion might be different to us. And we also have to respect their individuality and let them maintain that so that they feel they're not being bulldozed or coerced into doing something just because dad wanted me to do it or mum said I should do it. So we have to be really crafty and creative with our questioning. And I often say to parents, and I'm sure I did a podcast on this, where I said we need to ask questions without asking the question. And that's really difficult. And we want them to almost come round to thinking that what we're suggesting was their, that they came up with it, that it was their idea. Because then they're really going to step behind it when it's their idea. So even if they do agree with you and they come round to this way of thinking, don't then say, wasn't that such a great idea of mine? No, that was my idea. It was me that suggested that you phoned that place to get the job. No, it was me that... Forget that. You don't... If you're looking to get the validation from your kids, you're looking in the wrong place. Look in yourself for validation. Only you need to validate yourself. You don't need to rub it in your kids' noses that it was your idea or your solution. Let them believe it was theirs. And if we can do that, then we're going to be really good influencers. But no person is going to like being influenced and then told, by the way, that wasn't your idea, it was mine. And I don't mean you'll do that directly, but there's times where I'm in a situation with my kids and I feel myself wanting their acknowledgement and wanting their recognition of the fact that I've really helped them. And I have to turn that on its head and say, I don't need that from them. And when I am looking to get it from them, I have to be aware of that and recognize it's not the right place to be looking for validation for me. I need to look inside of myself for validation for me. And I don't want to look at them and want their validation in any way, shape or form. So what else can we do to be good influencers? Well, a good influencer is going to gain as much information as possible. And how do we do that? One of the skills to gain information is to listen and listen more and listen more. So often as parents, we listen to interrupt. We're just listening to wait for the moment where we can go in and tell them what to do. And I want to ask you to really try and listen more. And I heard Mel Robbins talking about this, and I heard someone else talking about this, saying the perfect thing to say to a teenager when they do start talking and they do, you know, ask questions is we can say to them, do you want me to just listen or do you want advice? Because sometimes they just want us to listen and they don't want advice. So ask them. And I think that is a really good way of becoming a compassionate influencer in their lives, is to listen more and to ask them if they actually want advice or not. And if they say no, that we hear them and we don't continue giving advice. We need to respect their opinions and then reflect that back to them. You know, I'm hearing that this is really important to you. Or I'm hearing that you're really upset. You could reflect their emotions back to them, help them become more emotionally intelligent. This is a great place to start, listening more and then reflecting what you're hearing back to them, reflecting what you're seeing back to them so they can hear and see themselves. Asking them, so what do you think you want to do about this? What possible things could you do? Let's brainstorm and get them to come up with some solutions. What other things could you do? I'm just trying to think off the top of my head here. You know, I often, if I get myself in a bit of a pickle with my kids, I kind of think, what would a coach do here? And, you know, coaches are really, they're not educators. They're not there to teach. They're there to bring the best out of the individual that they're coaching. And they do it by watching, listening, empathizing, being compassionate, being curious, being present, and not really having, not pushing their opinion on other people. The coaches often have a collective goal that they're moving towards, but they recognize the individual's goals within the big picture. So I think sometimes if we want to influence, think about how the coaches on maybe some of your kids' sport teams influence your child. What does the coach do? How does the coach gain following? How does the coach engage with them so that the kids listen to them? And you might be saying, yeah, well, if it was their parent, they probably wouldn't listen. And yes, you have a point there. But many parents coach their kids and in sports. And so think about, how does a coach get the best out of an individual athlete, player, or out of their team? And all these things collectively will contribute to being able to influence our kids. So just to recap, wanting them to agree with us and take our lead, we have to be really careful with how we open that to them, how we put it to them. Our communication skills have to be really good. Our listening skills have to be really good. We have to drop the shoulds and musts. We have to ask questions without being direct. And, you know, we can have our own agenda, but we need to really hide it. And we really need to ask them what their agenda is first. And then if we feel it could be tweaked, we have to really think long and hard as to how would we bring them round to adopting parts of our agenda so we can collaborate. And then asking them for, you know, what solutions might they come up with. And respecting their opinions and reflecting things back to them and validating them and encouraging them to influence someone. What a highly influential technique is to encourage them. And I talk a lot about this, and I talk about ESL, encouragement as a second language. And when we use encouragement, it gives our kids courage. And so if we can influence them by encouraging them, that's another really, really good way to help them. So I've talked a lot about things we can do to be compassionate, influencing people in our children's lives. And, you know, when I first titled this podcast, I put, you know, what every parent needs. And I actually had what every parent needs to master. And I actually had CIP, and I was thinking, you know, to be a compassionate, influencing parent. And I think if we can even take the word parent out of that and be person and almost see the child as not, quote unquote, our child, but a person, an individual. And yes, we're their parent, but that doesn't give us the right to control them, to make them adhere to our agenda, to disrespect them because they're our kids and they're younger than us. No, if we think of them as little people, individuals, as Dr. Shefali says, individuals throbbing with their own signatures and spirits, if we can even remove that whole parent piece and be the compassionate, influencing person in our kids' lives, then I think it's going to take, hopefully in times of strife and when things are tough and conflict and in the heat of the moment, you know, we can often let our emotions come between us and get in the way. And if we can actually step out of that role as parent and see ourselves as a person in the room with another person rather than the parent child, it can help us actually meet that little person's needs when we can take our emotions out of it. So if we want to influence them, we need to be able to step out of the emotional storm that we might be kind of right in off the back of them maybe not agreeing with us or disrespecting us or not listening to us, not obeying us. We can't control them. And when we try and control them to influence them, when we try and control them to make them listen, controlling them to make them respectful, it backfires. It never works. So how can we influence them? I love this word influence. So what can you do to try and influence your child so that you can actually lead them and guide them towards their goals, towards their dream, towards whatever it is they want to do? We need to be with them side by side, not in front of them, not behind them, because they might need us and they don't need us shoving them. Sometimes they might need a hand. But there's all sorts of ways of looking at this to try and help us become more of an influential figure in our kids' lives. And you know, as much as teenagers want to be independent and shed us of being custodians of them, they need us. They need us more than ever. They need our help. They need our guidance. They need our influence. And we really need to be the major influence in their lives, more of an influence than their peers, more of an influence than anyone else. So let's make the influence we have on them really positive. And hopefully some of the things I've shared today will help you do that. And also the things I'm going to talk about all year in this group coaching program are all going to boil down to this. You know, all these things we need to master as parents, and we're going to spend a year doing it. I'm going to keep showing up weekly and putting podcast episodes out there to help you. If you're not working with me, then hopefully I can still help you. You can help me by sharing this podcast and heading over onto whatever platform you listen to it and tune into it from, and rating and reviewing the show. That's what helps other parents know about podcasts like this. So if you're on social media, then take one of the episodes and share it on your social media platform. Don't forget to tag me. If you're on Instagram, I'm at louiseclark.ypp. That's your parenting partner, but it's abbreviated at louiseclark.ypp. So please tag me on any post that you put out there with regard to parenting. And if you mention the show, Parenting in the Thick of It, be sure to tag me as well and hashtag parenting in the thick of it. So as always, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And thank you for letting me influence you in your parenting choices, decisions, and the way in which you're showing up. Till next time, bye for now. That's it for today's episode on the Parenting in the Thick of It show. If you enjoyed the show, please do share it with your friends and family. And remember, if you find yourself stuck in the thick of it and can't see a way out of it, please send me an email. I would love to help you. My email is louise@yourparentingpartner.com. And don't forget to take a look at the Parenting in the Thick of It family organizer that I created. It's an evergreen family calendar guaranteeing 12 months of use from whenever you start. It also includes beautifully illustrated, informative, and interactive monthly parenting theme pages to guide you through the year. It's the perfect organizer for busy families to keep track of all their activities, plus help parents be the best parent they can be. It's more than just a calendar. You can find the link for this and the other social media platforms that I am on below the description in this episode. Thank you so much for listening today, and I look forward to being with you all soon. Bye for now.